Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 141 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Roma, which finished 1-0 to the visitors, a goal from Matias Soule in the 22nd minute at the San Siro. We're recording here after the Napoli game, so we are officially, at the end of this match day, 3 points behind the league leaders, Napoli, after their 2-0 win versus Torino. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa. Today, we are joined by the founder of SempreInter.com, Nima Tavale-Ruzzari, who, you know, you're in an interesting position as the co-host of the Italian Football Podcast, you know, sort of watching this Scudetto race day in and day out. Obviously, you gave your pronostications earlier in the year on how you thought this Scudetto race would play out. And now that we're here with 4 matches left, at least 2 more for Inter in the Champions League, things have sort of worked out the way that you you had anticipated it would. As an Inter fan, though, it must not be good to have to, you know, juggle both camps between seeing how things are playing out versus also your fandom here.
Yeah, I'm pissed. As an Inter fan, I'm pissed off. I'm genuinely pissed off because if I can see it in January, so can Marotta. Like, that's my perspective to these things. Like, this is the thing. I view my analysis of football is very similar to my analysis of life in the sense that I'm very brutally honest with the facts as they are in order to try to minimize mistakes as much as possible, you know? Fandom is one thing, but facts and analysis and the reality we live in, that's something else. I wish things were different, but the fact of the matter is they're not. And this is why I'm pissed off, because this was so, if I can see it, so can they. And they didn't do anything about it. And I think not because they are stupid. I think it was a calculated risk, which I think we should talk about. I think they took a calculated risk. For them, the most important thing this season was to get as far as possible in the Champions League and the Club World Cup, because that brings in the most money, and to secure Champions League football in the Serie A. Nothing else mattered. 0 trophies, 1 trophy, 5 trophies. None of that mattered. The most important thing was to get to this as far as possible in the Champions League and as far as possible in the FIFA Club World Cup, because it brings in the most money. And given where Inter are financially, in order for Inter to be able to relaunch this winning cycle, or restart it, we should say, because this season is ending with zero titoli, at least from where I'm standing. I hope I'm wrong and they can pull off a miracle against Barcelona. But I don't think so. But from the reason that is if you're going to relaunch this winning cycle, you need money. You have to have money. And Inter's squad needs massive, massive investment. That's why, or rebuild, or pieces added to it. And they need to be able to keep the Barellas, the Bastonis, the Lautaros, and the Thurams. Çalhanoğlu and these other guys have extended. It's Thuram's turn. That is priority number one. And in order to do that, they had to go far in the Champions League, and they've done that. They reached the semi-final. They made more money now at the semi-final stage before the record-breaking income game against Barcelona in a week's time than they did when they went to the final. They are going to make much more when they go to America and Canada or whenever the Club World Cup is played. And that is why Luis Enrique has all but been signed. That's why Petar Sucic has been all but signed. Which puts Inter in a good position in terms of their mercato. And that's where we are. I think the Scudetto was lost in games from match day 1, 2-2 draw against Genoa, the 2-2 draw against Parma, the 1-1 draw away to Monza. A team that wants to win the Serie A cannot afford those 6 points. A team that wants to win the Scudetto can't afford to lose a 4-2 lead with 15 minutes left to play to Juve. A team that wants to win the Scudetto can't go against Milan and hit the crossbar a million times, but can't impose themselves. All the things I said when I was, I think it was last time I was here when we had this discussion, why I blew the fuse in January, that I don't see this as a title winning team. It doesn't give me the confidence. They don't have it in them. They've looked exhausted and jaded and mentally, physically and mentally tired since match day one. We can't deny that now. We're in May. We're in April. We're soon in May. And now, what we saw against Roma, to tie it back to that, I'm sorry, but Ale, I saw in Inter that were unable to cohesively press in the 19th minute because they ran out of gas, and that's when the Roma scored. You know, that's blind. That's season over. That's when that happens. And Carlos Augusto said, we're exhausted. Hakan Çalhanoğlu spoken about it's more draining mentally to play like this every 3 days than it is to actually play the games. Look, this is a team that is exhausted. Marotta, before the game, we should really just applaud the team in the game against Barcelona, he said. They gambled. They took a gamble again after winning the Scudetto in record-breaking fashion. The second time they've done this now. The first time was out of their hands because of the financial meltdown they had to deal with. But last summer, as I tweeted out, that thread that you just showed on the screen, look, they decided to long-term it, which is what Marotta does. He's a 3-4-year period kind of guy. He was a 3-4 period with the Spalletti-Conte era. Then he started a 3-4 period with Inzaghi. Now he's going to Inzaghi 2.0 with a new 3-4-year period. This is how he works. He doesn't work in, we have to win the Scudetto now. No, he builds cycles. Now he's building for the next cycle. And if that means sacrificing the Scudetto, if that means zero trophies this season in order to build something that can win 2, 3, 4 down the road, so be it. That's just how he is. That's just how he is. That's the character he is. That's how he builds. And Inter fans may not be happy to hear that, will be pissed off to hear that, and it will sting. Because as I tweeted out, which started this whole thing in February, it's still a third winnable Scudetto mandata alle puttane in 6 years. The Conte first one was winnable. This one was very winnable. And the Milan one. That's three Scudetti in 6 years that Inter have thrown away. And yeah. I'm sorry, but that's just a reality. And the reality of it, we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that. Now, the reasons for it, different situations, you know, the COVID situation was insane. Then Inzaghi taking over from Conte and having the craziest summer ever with Lukaku deciding to leave and ruin his career and you know, Christian Eriksen having the medical, I mean, all of the crazy shit that happened, right? But at the end of it, we have to be honest and say that, yes, we should have won more Scudetti, absolutely. But I think out of all of those three that Inter threw away, this one annoys me the most because this one was the most predictable. To me, this one was
also because their biggest competitor for the Scudetto kind of gave it to you in January when they sold their best player. You know, just as far as like talent on the pitch. So that's also the frustrating part where it's like they kind of gave you the lane and didn't do anything to, you know.
This is why I was so angry in February because I've had two, three months to prepare for this. That's why I'm kind of calm now because I was looking at the, you know, when I say these things, I look at the whole thing. I look at, okay, when is the schedule of the Champions League? When is the Coppa Italia schedule? How does Inter run in the Serie A look? And I looked at April and March, and I was like, that's why I was like, Inter need a 6-7 point cushion going into the Bologna game. They didn't.
Yeah.
They lost that. And then they lost to Milan. And now they lost to Roma. And now Napoli took a 3-point lead. And I think they're running away with it.
Yeah, I really think they're running away with it. You'd be hard pressed to argue otherwise. Although, I haven't
decided.
They're
not going
to
win it against Lecce away, which I thought they were going to do. I still think match day 35 is a little bit too optimistic. But it would have been the most cinematic ending. And since this is Italian football, we love our cinematic endings. and Italian football loves its cinema. So Antonio Conte returning to Lecce, his hometown, at the stadium, and fans that hate him because of his connections to Bari, their bitter rivals, and to securing his Napoli's second Scudetto in 2 years, but his Scudetto, his biggest managerial achievement, because look, winning the Scudetto with Spinazzola as your left winger, I mean,
don't say too much on this right now, because we're gonna play this. We're gonna play this episode the same way that we did last week. People seem to enjoy it. So before we get into before we get into the game, we're gonna run through five narratives that I've decided to pick out from
their Twitter. Last week's episode was fantastic, and I said that to you, and I said it privately, and I want to say I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Appreciate it. Hopefully, we can do as well on this episode, although I have the feeling that it doesn't really make a difference as far as Interisti's mental is concerned.
No.
But it's okay. All right. So let's start from the top here. Buy or sell these specific narratives. Narrative number one. Inzaghi should have never thrown up the three fingers in that press conference. Buy or sell?
I sell that completely. What do you expect him to do? Say, no, we're not good enough? Like, he's supposed to say, no, we can only win one trophy? Like, what is he supposed to do? Of course.
But the temptation, the karma, I know you don't believe in the superstitious aspect of it.
No, I don't. If the journalist said you're in, I think it was the journalist said you're in two competitions. And he said, no, we're in three. And then he corrected himself and said, no, we're in four, because it's true. You could win two trophies. He said no, because then it was true. We're in three and potentially four, which he corrected himself. I don't think. I don't think we should give that too much credence.
Yeah, I struggled with this one because there's a part of me that in Italy, the teams that are fighting for important competitions, they tend to love to deflect responsibility, right? Like, whether you see it from Conte, you saw it from Allegri, like, they always want to put the responsibility on the other coach and kind of pass the buck here, as far as pressure is concerned. So there's a part of me that appreciates that Inzaghi was not doing that at all, and taking on the responsibility, but also, you know, you look at that and you're just setting yourself up for, you're going after something incredibly difficult. And the second that it doesn't come through, people are going to be all over you. That I'm going to sell this one only for the reason that that shouldn't matter. The criticism that comes after fighting for, you know, these various different trophies, it shouldn't matter. Like, the only thing that should matter is what your objectives are, what you're fighting for, and that you do it week in and week out. And this is football, and things, you know, things happen. La palla rotonda, it's going to go one way or the other. And I appreciate that we stated what our goals were and that we were going for it. And if we're being serious, I don't think anyone at Inter thought that the treble was possible. You're talking about it because you're trying to keep the guys engaged, you know, fighting on all fronts, that they don't take their foot off the gas. But the reality of the situation is, like, everyone at the club knows what we're dealing with, not having been able to make any investments in the last several summers. And, you know, this is the reality of the situation. So I don't think that he conjured up any spirits here by throwing up the three ended up pushing this.
No. He was asked, you're competing to win two trophies. And he said, no, three, actually four, which is just, and also I got to say, I don't like this thing that they do. I actually like that Inzaghi says, when he says, we're not hiding. Non ci nascondiamo. I like that. I like that.
I agree. Said,
you know what? We are Inter. We're fighting to win. Doesn't mean we're going to win, but we're fighting to win. We're not going to hide from that. Conte does it because likes to big himself up. Because Conte, in the world, Conte is alone, and he alone, he's the gladiator in the movie against the lions. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's just his thing, which is so annoying to be around. And with Allegri, it's because Allegri's a cunning son of a bitch. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. He loves to play his mind games and shit like that. But I think Inzaghi just doesn't play that game. That's just not the character he is. He doesn't. He's exactly. I mean, again, his mentor is Sven-Goran Eriksson. He doesn't play those games. That's just not how he is. As a leader, as a person, he builds on other things. He builds his leadership and his dressing rooms in another way. His communication, which has improved, is much more assertive. He doesn't communicate like that. He doesn't play those games. When he gets angry, you can tell it, and he bites, but he doesn't. He does it in his way. He doesn't do those. Like, it's just the guy he is. He's not going to change.
Do you think did you take anything away from the fact that today, his post match, he was very succinct and very much like he mentioned the penalty not given, like he mentioned that they're tired, but he also was like very quick to say there's no point in discussing or talking about this anymore. And he was like, there wasn't that biting back that may have been expected based off of some of the other conferences we've seen this year.
Because yeah, I did. I see that to me was, I don't know what to make of it fully yet, but to me that it's funny because that's exactly how I reacted. You know, I thought it was interesting because when I saw it, I was like, I don't care. Yeah, it was a penalty, but I don't care because that's not the issue here. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the bigger issue is something else. And I think that's what he was talking about. That's exactly the bigger issue. The reason why the wheels have come off at this point of the season have nothing to do with Inter not receiving 13 penalties for 13 match days in the Serie A in a row. Which is an insane stat, by the way, and I think that's something Marotta should be worried about, not Inzaghi. But that's not why Inter are here. Which I'm sure we're going to get into why Inter are here.
We are. So let's get into.
I don't want to fuck up your plan.
It's good. It's good. That leads us into narrative number two.
Some of me. Yeah,
No. We listen.
I forget. Johnny's your co-host.
Yeah.
You have to bleep everything out.
No, that's every time I'm on YouTube. It's like, is this episode for kids? No, it's not. It isn't. All right. Narrative number two. Inter's collapse is more mental than physical. Buy or sell?
Well, that's a tough one. Because I think you can't separate the two. I think one gives the other. I think the reason... I'm going to say sell. Not because I don't agree with it. Not because I don't agree with the fact that there is a mental element to it. I think it's a huge mental element. But I think the reason we are here is because of the physical stuff more than the mental stuff. I think I look at these group of players and they are... Like, the reason why it's a mental collapse as well is because they want to, but they physically cannot.
Physically can't, yeah.
And that is why, that's where the doubt creeps in. Like, I see an Inter that wants to impose itself. I would have been much more angrier and more frustrated if it was an Inter that was unable to even try or want to. They want to. They have a plan. They just can't put it into action. Because they don't have the energy. And
you can see even the fans, like the reception at the end of the game, like they, you know, they recognize that there is the attempt, that the volia is there.
Yeah. They just physically can't. I mean, again, in the 19th minute, your cohesive press collapses in the 19th minute as a, like,
Yeah. Can you see me?
Yeah, I see you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For me, it's going to be a sell because when you see the chance that Barella misses, in the, you know, 61st minute, 62nd minute, that, or even like the various misplaced passes and stuff throughout the day, I can't imagine a world where it's Barella's head is not there. It's his legs are,
his legs,
he's
not
swimming in, yeah, he's in quicksand. Mm-hmm. And they're trying, and you can see it across all of the players. Who was the player that looked like he had the most in the tank?
Dumfries
and Augusto.
Yeah.
Two players who, like, Augusto has been a reserve for most of the season, and Dumfries hasn't been, you know, hasn't been playing. Everyone else that's been giving in the shifts, I didn't see a lack of mental energy. It was completely, they're swimming in quicksand.
Yeah. There's no, like I tweeted out, there's not even fumes left. There's nothing, like, you can get angry at the car and bang and kick in the windows of the car and bang the steering wheel that it's not going, when the tank or the fume, when they're not even fumes in the tank, but you're just busting up the car. It's not the car's fault. Like, there's nothing left. There is nothing left. Literally, not, the only thing that was left was spent against Bayern Munich to get to this semi-final. That was the, yeah, that was it. After that, they physically cannot do it anymore. And I think that's why I talk about miracle against Barcelona. Because Barcelona, let's be honest, they have had a grueling fixture list too. This is, they have been in the Super Cup, which they won. They've been in the Copa del Rey, which they won. They're top of the league. They have played just as many games as we have. The difference is that they've been able to, they have better depth. They have spent more. They have more quality on their bench. And when they have rotated, that has shown on the pitch.
It doesn't mean much younger squad.
And a much younger squad. But even though they are in financial crisis and have been pulling financial levers, like, I don't know what, well, that, you know, you can call it a farce, you can call it whatever, and I would agree with you, but it doesn't change the fact that if you look at what they've spent over the last four, a player like Rafinha, when was he signed? He was a flop. Hansi Flick made him an imperative player, and look at him now.
Yeah.
Olmo, Ferran Torres.
Ballon d'Or.
Yeah. Like, Olmo, Ferran Torres, Gavi, Pedri, Lamin, you know, these are whatever, younger players. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It shows when you invest, and you can invest during the same period that Inter did, plus 150, plus 60, plus minus zero, they've been pulling levers, and now they've got those players to rely on, and they have a manager who can rely on that quality.
Well, yeah, and when you can pull players from, you know, their Primavera, their academy into the team, that helps a lot. It also, yeah, helps that they have the best player in the world. Like,
but that's also something else. When people talk about, why don't Inter bring in, who, please give me the name of one Inter Primavera player that would improve this Inter the same way their Cantera players improves there. We don't have that. Italian football doesn't have that. I'm sorry, we don't. It's just a reality. And don't tell me that Berenbruch would turn into Lamine Yamal because if Inzaghi believed in him a little more. Like, it doesn't add up. They're great players, but unfortunately, that level of quality, Italian teams don't have that at youth level, which is a problem in and of itself and something that should be looked at top to bottom. But the reality is now, today, where we are on the 27th of April, 2025, we don't have that.
Yeah.
The only thing you do if you did that is you'd ruin a young player's career, which would be irresponsible.
Yep.
You put what would happen if someone like, I know he's not there, but say Zanotti, Berenbruch, Topalovic, you play these guys at a 75,000-77,000 packed San Siro, and the San Siro size like that. What do you think that does to a 17, 16, 18 year? I mean, you know. Player Bisek, yeah, what's his name? Bellanova broke down crying. He was an Italian national team player then, and he broke down crying. You're doing that to 16-year-olds? I mean,
same environment. It's not even the same ecosystem. Honestly, it's a completely different situation. All right, let's head to narrative number three. Fabri had an anti-Inter whistle today. buy or sell.
I don't know if it was an anti. I think it was an anti-football whistle. I don't think it was anti-Inter. He pissed me off throughout the game. I don't think he just screwed Inter over. I think he ruined the game again. I don't like this referee.
I take notes during the game, and I have a list of incorrect, like just the wrong decision all throughout the game.
A friend of mine who I always talk to is such a Alessandro Arbizzani. He's an Interista from Italy, trains referees in Australia. He really is one of my favorite people to talk to about these things. He loves Michael Fabbri, and he's been surprisingly quiet today. Usually he always tells me like when we DM, but he's not said anything. I know he'll probably be listening to this. But he's, you know, I always turn to him because the way he explains the laws of the game, the way that they are taught, and he teaches referees. But today, I haven't spoken to him yet today, but I got to say, I thought Fabbri was just woeful. Not just against Inter, but for Roma too. It was atrocious. It was atrocious refereeing. He had a shit day, like Doveri did a couple of weeks ago. And I think Doveri is a great referee. Doveri is a great referee. But he had a shit day. Fabbri had a shit day. He was awful. I don't think it was anti-Inter. Maybe he made more mistakes, more decisive mistakes against Inter than Roma. Fine, that's, you know, whatever. But I think he was genuinely just awful today.
It was the inconsistency in some of the calls, like, you know, Chala gets held, there's nothing, but that whistle goes for Roma. What was the protocol on the Bisek Ndika challenge in the box? Like, why doesn't that, I think this is what Interisti are interested in. Like, even Bonetti said it on the US broadcast. Like, why did it take so long to get images? Why isn't there...
That's, you know, the VAR will definitely have looked at that. The question is the VAR protocol. Does it fall under the remit of clear and obvious error? And, you know, you've listened to me moan about this for many, many times, for many months now. I don't like that protocol. I don't like the way that it's used. I don't like the way that they use it and the way that it works, because it becomes really arbitrary to me. It seems very arbitrary to me, the way that the clear and obvious error protocol is used. They will have looked at that. They will have communicated with Fabbri. And based on what they communicated with, they will have probably come to the conclusion that it doesn't fall under clear and obvious error. But it's still a wrong call.
So is it basically if the VAR can interpret that there
the
is
VAR a... looks at the images, and the VAR talks with a referee. The referee says what he has seen. Right, they communicate with one another. What did I see? And then the VAR will tell the referee, okay, you should look at this. If it's not what the images show, is not what the referee has seen. If the referee has seen something that doesn't correspond to what the images show, then the referee has to, because he can decide not to. We have to remember the VAR recommends an on-field review. The decision to do an on-field review always rests with the referee. So when people say VAR didn't intervene, the VAR can intervene in certain situations. In these situations, for sure. The VAR, whether it's offside or not, that's different, because that's either something is off or on.
Right.
And if the images show that it's off, it's off. It's not much to talk about.
Does it ever get published that a VAR recommended an on-field review and then the referee said no?
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong. I've not heard of that, but usually these things leak. Yes.
Interesting.
I love that you say interesting like Johnny does. Interesting.
Well, listen, I'm going to, just for the, you know, just because I have to, I'm going to say, I'm going to buy that he had an anti-Inter whistle because I'm allowed to. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do so. I'm not the co-host of the Italian Football Podcast, no, so I don't give a shit. I'm going to say they had an anti-Inter whistle. All right.
No, I'm pissed off. I think that's a penalty. That's a stonewall penalty. Let's not, like, I don't even know what.
It's not even. I'm fine with with contact and a little bit of challenging, but for me, it's the length of time that that tussle occurring.
Ale, ti prego. He's got both. He's got him in a lock. Like, what are we even talking about? It's not pulling the shirt a little bit. It's not He's got both of his hands around his stomach. Like, and he's holding him like it's like a wrestling chokehold. Like,
I was gonna say, someone forgot to tell Fabri that WrestleMania was last weekend. This Sunday.
What are we even talking about? He continuously does it, and he lets go before Bisek falls. But for the love of God, like,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
So,
I know. All right. Narrative number four: Napoli is in fact doing a miracle, as Conte says they are.
Without a shadow of a doubt, they are. I don't understand how anyone can tell me that they're not doing that.
Let's see.
The Scudetto with Leonardo Spinazzola as a winger. He's got Scott McTominay turned into freaking Frank Lampard. Like, I mean, he's got Romelu Lukaku at this day and age, in this moment of his career. Like, it's insane what he's doing. Like, look, I don't even like the guy. This is the thing about Conte. I'm fascinated by him. I am, because he is a fascinating character.
People but love psychopaths.
But I can't stand him, because he is such a narcissistic sociopath. But he is a genius. He is a tactical genius. The way that he went from the back three to the back four and adapted the back four and 4-3-3 to this Napoli, and then finding roles for McTominay and Lukaku and Politano, and then Spinazzola didn't work there. Okay, then we play him there, and we play him this way to get the best out of him. Only a brilliant tactical mind can come up with these solutions. However, he also has limitations. Antonio Conte cannot play football more than once a week. He can't. If he does it, everything falls apart. We've seen it. The only reason he did well with Inter in the Europa League is because that was the competition they were playing one at a time. He can't do it when he has to juggle more than one competition. He just can't do it. He just cannot do it. His system doesn't work. He can't prepare because that system is demanding. He is demanding. He needs to prepare for it. And there just isn't enough time in the day to prepare for it like that when you're playing on several competitions. It just isn't, you know? But it's, I mean, sweet mother of Christ, look at that squad. Like, they have no business winning this title.
I disagree. And there's a few points here that I want to make. The first is, I did see that tweet that's going around today about, you know, Napoli's really going to win the league with Spinazzola, Lukaku, and Politano. Okay. It wasn't 38 games of that. Let's be... honest, it wasn't 38 games of it. Number one. Number two, it's a miracle that all of the other clubs that would have been contending for a title were also competing on multiple fronts that didn't have, like, they, you know, weren't able to get the 7 days of rest. Like, okay, I am not going to get in the camp of what he's doing is a miracle. I understand that the quality in the squad is less than that of Inter's. 100%, I buy that. But what I don't buy is that their quality in the squad doesn't match up to what the rest of Serie A is bringing forward this year. Because it absolutely does. We can talk about, oh, Spinazzola, winger, whatever. Like, with a coach like Conte, who is able to adapt from a 3-5-2 to a 4-3-3, with players that are suited perfectly to him, like Lukaku, like McTominay, Buongiorno, I know he missed time, but I mean, he's one of the best defenders in Serie A. Lobotka is one of the best midfielders in Serie A. I will buy into the narrative that their squad is not as good as Inter, but only having to play 38 games throughout the season, they got knocked out of Coppa Italia earlier against a Serie A that is not, they're not bringing it. Like, they do have the squad quality to, you know, to do what they're doing. I'm not going to buy into this Conte nonsense that what he's doing is miraculous. The only thing that I will give him credit for is them selling Kvara, him not getting what he wants. I do think he, you know, it's not great for their club that he's going out and having these interviews and saying, you know, basically bringing up uncertainty about his future while his squad is, you know, in a head to head for the title race. I don't think the timing on that is particularly great, although it is.
Just to build on that point, he does this everywhere and his squads always win. That is a sign of strength. This isn't like, this is the thing. He has an unbelievable ability to insulate the squad from his own bullshit. He did it at Inter, created complete bullshit. The squad went to the final of the Europa League, finished second first season, then won the league. Chelsea won the league, the FA Cup, despite fighting and bitching about everything for 2 years, nonstop. Juve, same thing there, won three titles. And he has an unbelievable ability to have credibility with the group and insulate them and have them performing and buy into his ideas and training and all of that, which is demanding, whilst also insulating them so that his bullshit that he puts out, and because the players see it, they're not deaf and blind, they see everything that's going on, but he manages to insulate them from that.
I wouldn't put it past him to be someone who tells his squad, like, whatever you hear is me fighting on your behalf. Like,
without a doubt, that's absolutely how he is. Like, that's how he builds squads. But he's got that ability to insulate it. Let's remember, we're talking about a man who, you know, it's frustrating because at the same time, if you're Napoli, you know, you're like, what is this guy's problem? Because on the one hand, you're like, this is he literally said these words. At the end of the season, I'm going to sit down with the president and have a discussion about the future about my future. Because I'm not going to put myself in a position where my ass literally said backside, my ass is can be abused, abusato. He's in a Scudetto race. Like, who talks? First of all, who talks like this? And second of all, who talks like this when you're about to win Napoli's fourth Scudetto, a huge, incredible achievement in and of itself. But it's a fourth Scudetto that is qualitatively by far their worst Scudetto on paper in terms of the quality on the pitch.
I don't disagree with that.
You know, and as for the miraculousness of it, it's not Conte's fault that Juve fell apart. It's not Conte's fault that Inter bit off more than they could chew.
But it's not to his credit either.
But his credit is that he got the job done. That's all he can do.
Yeah, but getting the job done is not the same as a miracle. And I think the other thing that I had forgotten to mention was the run-in to the end of this thing couldn't have been more difficult for Inter, and it couldn't have been more let's be real. Like, Monza, Empoli, and Torino in the space of time that we had to play Bayern twice, Bologna, Roma.
Yeah, but that's the same for everybody. But at the same time,
I understand, but it is different than a miracle.
You still have to play every team twice, and it's not his fault that his that he only has one game to, you know, to contend with a week. That's not on him. You can only deal with what you're dealt with, right? Look. The thing that is miraculous is to get, it's not just, it's Naples. It's not winning in Milan. It's not winning at Inter. It's not winning in Juve. It's winning, playing like this in Naples and getting everyone on board in a very difficult, heated piazza where they expect to play Joga Bonito because the Spalletti said that season when he won the Scudetto in one of his more poetic press conference where he says we have an obligation, a duty to our history to win by playing this way. We're the club of Maradona. Conte doesn't give a rat's ass. He comes in there with his Juve winning is the only thing that matters attitude and plays some of the most anti-football that city has never seen. And they wanted to kill him. Many of the fans. I know. I saw it. They were like, get this son of a bitch out of here. But it doesn't. They don't matter, because with four games left to play, he's got 3 points on Inter, and he's got what? Cagliari, Parma. Who else has he got? Cagliari, Parma,
Lecce.
Lecce. And what else has he got left?
That's does he play Como or no?
Yeah, no, Inter play Como. That's like
Inter play Como, yeah.
So, you know, he's got them left and he's got three. So it's like, you know, he now instead, you know, what he's going to do is what he always does. He's going to get angrier in press conferences. He's not going to be happy. He's going to be happy when they win the Scudetto, but he's going to get angrier.
Genoa, Lecce, Parma, Cagliari.
So, you know, he's not going to lose any of those games. He's going to win 2-3, draw one. Like, we know that. Like, it's over. But how we got here, I think, is more interesting. And he, you know, and whether or not he stays, I don't think he stays. Like, that's another thing. Like,
what's your, not to turn this into a Napoli pod, but what's your,
I think if there's a chance opening at Milan, he runs immediately.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I can't think of a worse ownership group to go from ADL to,
But it doesn't matter. Does it matter? Like, if you're again, let's remember who we're talking about, this guy and his ego, because he knows he has coached six and a half seasons. He has coached in the Serie A, if we count the Atalanta thing where he did pretty okay before he, you know, that whole thing fell apart. So three with Juve, two with Inter, six whole seasons he's coached in the Serie A. He will have won five out of six Serie A's.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the, if he does this with Napoli, not only is this his Mona Lisa, his masterpiece, I think there has never been a better Italian league manager than this guy, ever. Who would that be?
No, you can definitely make an argument. And it would also be very, Conte like to say that it's not enough to screw Inter with a title with Napoli.
It's not about Inter, because this is the thing.
There is a part of screwing Inter that he loves. It's screw Juve.
It's screw Inter.
Exactly. It's screw everybody.
It's screw everybody, because this is who he is. Because it's about him proving to everyone what could have been if they had only listened to Antonio. If you only listen to Antonio, like, did you, when he was invoking God a couple of months ago, for Christ's sakes, you know, this is the man we're dealing with. He is who he is. And becoming the first coach, not even Trapattoni did it, to win the Scudetto with Milan, Juve, Inter.
The schedule is amazing. It's 12 p.m. on Saturday against Lecce, and then the next three are Sunday 9 a.m. games. Oh my God, it's just amazing.
It is what it is.
Let's hope for a playoff, because I feel like that's the only real path at this point. They're not going to drop enough for Inter to win it straight up. Okay, last narrative here. This collapse from Inter should result in jobs being lost. Buy or sell?
Well, whose job?
That's what I mean. Inzaghi, Manotta, no, Ausilio.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That would, again, what I said about Marotta doing cycles. He builds cycles. He builds 3-4 year cycles. And if that means losing 2-3 Scudetti, but winning and having success elsewhere in order to get to that point where you build and win, that's just part and parcel of the game. That's just how he rolls. And with the financial situation that Inter have gone through, I think at this point, sacking Inzaghi would be suicide. And so do Inter think that as well, because you have to remember, if we put on our fan hats now, our objectives was to win the Scudetto first, then go as far as possible in the Champions League, then the Coppa Italia, then the Supercoppa, and whatever happens in the summer happens. That's our objectives. That's not the club's objectives. The club's objectives was compete on all fronts, but go far in the Champions League and the Club World Cup, because that's where the
money is. It's already been secured.
So for them, they're happy because it allows them to do the rejuvenation project that they need and they want to do. It's been financed now. They can relax. They
can work. Isn't Zaghi happy?
That's the thing, though. He's not. He will not be happy. And because as much as has been said about Inzaghi, you go and talk to his former players. Go and talk to Luis Alberto. Go and talk to his former teammates. He's a winner. He just isn't. He's just not insane like Conte is. And he's not a narcissist like Conte is. But he's a winner. It depresses the shit out of him when he doesn't win. It annoys him to the point. And it angers him. Lautaro's spoken about how angry Inzaghi can get. So, no, he's not happy. And but he's also a smart person in that he understands where he is. It's very clear that there is a very good feeling to the Italian when they use that word feeling.
Yep.
Tra Marotta, Ausilio, Inzaghi. They speak, it seems to me there's a very good feeling between them. They're all on the same page. They view the problems in the same way. And that's why they want to continue together to at least 2027. I think
when you look at what's going on with other clubs in football, it's incredibly difficult to build a winning project from day one. Like, it does take a few windows. It does, you know, Napoli, you know, withstanding what Conte is able to do with all the miracles that he's working. But anyway, it's very difficult to be able to start a winning project from day one. And I think it would be a mistake for him to leave as he's heading into the summer, where he might have, you know, a sack of cash. Yeah.
Finally, Inzaghi can actually, after 4 years, they can actually give the guy something. It would be madness for him to leave. And it would equally be madness by Inter to blow up the team, because that's exactly what it would be. If you blow up the team, then you have to blow up everything else. Why did then Sucic and Luis, and I mean, he just, no. Don't do that.
Yeah. I think for the people saying Ausilio and Marotta Oaktree doesn't necessarily have a buyer lined up here. I don't know that you want to bring in another name. Like, Beppe probably has a certain amount of, I don't know if the right term is pull, but a certain amount of cachet with, you know, this current ownership group. I think the last thing that you want to do is bring in a new face. I don't think that makes Inter better. I don't know that there's another name out there that makes Inter better. Yes, there's been misfires, and yes, like, at least from our perspective, it's like, let's have some investment. Like, why are you blowing this in January? But you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know, like, if he has any money to spend, or, you know, if he attempted something, wasn't able to pull it off. You know that he has players that have had offers that have stayed despite the fact that we try to offload them. So I don't know. I can't see anyone doing a better job than Marotta. I do understand the frustration towards the front office, but I think, again, like, it's fandom versus being realistic with the situation here.
Yeah, they need to make.
He can't go.
If Marotta leaves, you can just goodbye to everything. Like, getting people calling for Marotta's head need to get their heads checked. If Inter is a house, he's the foundation holding everything together. And if you want to blow up the foundation, I mean, what? No,
yeah.
No. Marotta can't leave. At all, under any circumstances. That's not even, I'm not even entertaining that. I actually think that I look at Inter's squad, I look at where we are, and I look at, above all, where they have identified that they need to strengthen, and that is the midfield and the attack, and they want to rejuvenate in those areas. Sucic done, Luis Enrique, meaning wide areas and midfield, and also attack. They're going to do something in defense too, it seems. I think they did what they did last summer with Josep Martinez. Short term was a mistake, but long term could be a very smart move.
I think so.
But and again, this is how he works. He doesn't do short term. He works long term. That's just how he works. And his main thing now is to extend Turam's contract and to get that clause removed because they understand that if they're going to win anything big, they need Thuram, they need Lautaro. They work well together. He's happy. Give him what he wants. Remove the clause. You've locked him down. That means Bastoni, Barella, Lautaro, Thuram, Çalhanoğlu, all locked in. Which is, I don't think people should underestimate how important that is given the financial shit show that has been Inter for the last 5 years. That is unbelievable achievement.
And but also to provide those players with suitable replacements so that they're not running into the ground. That's also needs to be a focus.
But that's what they need to do this summer, but they've not had the financial muscles to do that. And that's what I think will happen. And I think that with Correa leaving, Arnautovic leaving, we'll see what happens with one of Acerbi and De Vrij. I'm not sure. I think they both of them will stay. I wonder if Bisic isn't sold, because I think that could happen. Di Marco, Carlos Augusto, Bastoni, that side's fine. Darmian situation, so they're bringing in Luis Enrique, so they have an alternative to Dumfries.
Yeah.
Sucic is coming in.
That could also, if you sell Bisek, push Darmian back to a right center back backup, which he's much more suited for at this stage in his career. Yeah.
Without a doubt. And I'm looking at Omar Sule. I think he's an Inter player.
I love him. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, that's an Inter caliber central defender in this system. He has all the things that Inter need in their defense. And with Luis, I wouldn't rule that out. Then I'm looking at the strikers. And Arnautovic and Correa's contract expires. Inter have an option for Arnautovic. I don't think they're going to exercise that option. I hope they don't. And then with Taremi, he wants to stay. He thinks that he has a point to prove. He's not happy with his first season at Inter and he wants la rivincita. Inter don't, as things stand right now. So that's a nodo, to use another Italian phrase, to fix. And they need to have a serious conversation about that, which I think they will. And face-to-face between Inzaghi, the player, and the club, they need to resolve that. We'll see how that is resolved. But they will focus on them. And then you have the Fratesi and Aslani situation. One has been already brought in. Then you have Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan is going to stay for another year. I don't see him retiring at the end of this season, not with Sucic coming in. And I think that means that one of Fratesi and Aslani can leave without cash. And that's why I firmly believe that Fratesi is going to be either swapped with some cash for Pellegrini or a straight swap
with Pellegrini or Raspadori.
Both. One or the other.
I couldn't rather have Raspadori over Pellegrini more, like,
I think it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. I think it.
I'm not a huge fan of Raspadori, but between those two deals, it's very.
I think it's a no-brainer.
Straightforward. Yeah,
I think it's a no-brainer because Raspadori is. I love the kid. I loved him in Sassuolo. I love what he brings to a team in a two-man attack. I love the football he has in him, the character he is. He will fit into this Inter like a hand in a glove. He's a calm. You know, let's be honest here. This Inter is a choir boy. It's a squad of choir boys. They don't talk out of turn. They shut up. They have discipline. Raspadori fits every single one of those boxes. And he's an Interista growing up. And he's a player. Look, I think what happened in Napoli was not, you know, I think it was good that he went there, that he learned how to win, what it takes to win. But in order to, if Inter are playing this much as they are doing and will do next season without the Club World Cup, they're going to call on him. And I think in a two-man attack, he has a role to play. I think giving Lautaro a rest, that's my go-to guy when I give Lautaro a rest. Or if I give, you know, or even Thuram to a certain extent. Then the question is, what do you do with Taremi? Do you keep him? Can you come to some sort of agreement? And then the question is, okay, Aslani, who you need another midfielder. And who is that midfielder? I don't think it's going to be Pellegrini, although I think Pellegrini would work fantastically in Inter's system, but I don't think it's going to be Pellegrini. I think it's going to be someone else. But regardless, this is what we're looking at. And so there's going to be investment. There's not going to be a huge investment, but there's going to be investment and there's going to be a rejuvenation and they're actually going to bring in players that can make this Inter under Inzaghi better. and yeah, younger.
It's not only better, but it should also be more capable of handling a workload that the top clubs in Europe are being handed
exactly.
These seasons. I think that's got to be the biggest thing. It's like, get younger, get more athletic, have pieces that you can swap in and swap out, especially because injuries are just going to, it's going to continue to be something that teams need to prepare for.
Yeah, like I tweeted out, we have 13 players, 14 players maybe, yeah, of the somewhat similar caliber. We need 18, 19.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. All right. We're coming up on an hour here. I don't know that there's a ton about this game that I really want to talk about. It was fairly straightforward. Inter played well in the first half outside of a period of time immediately after Roma scored their goal, where they let, another like four chances occur. But they had created a couple opportunities themselves. And then in the second half, it was, all Inter outside of several Roma counterattacks. But, we just didn't have the legs. We didn't have the options to go to. We didn't have the ideas. It was a lot of, crosses into the box where a Roma that features like four people that are above 6'3", it's going to be a tough deal to get through to score a goal like that. But as far as player performances that we can touch on, why don't we each give one positive player that we want to shout out and one player that didn't do it for us today. I'll let you go first.
Dumfries, positive. I was thrilled to see him today. He made me really happy. The attitude, the body language, the fitness, the go, the gusto. I loved it. He's going to be very important for Inter against Barcelona. That actually calmed me down going into the Barcelona game, watching him.
Yeah.
It calmed me down a lot. It almost makes up, not makes up, but it mitigates, not makes up, mitigates the fact that Thuram won't be there. Because then we have at least one player with speed that can hurt them on the counter.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a completely different player to Darmian. And like the team has such a different feel to it when Dumfries is on the pitch as opposed to Darmian.
And aerially. Those balls now into the far corner are an actual threat. He's dangerous as hell there. And he's quick as hell, explosive. There's going to be, and he's brilliant when he's got space to attack. And there will be space to attack.
Yeah.
He's Barcelona.
Yeah, agreed. For me, I'll shout out Carlos Augusto. I just thought of everyone on the team, his engine was the most revved up and filled. Like he just fought his ass off. And he tried. I mean, there's nothing about his performance that I can say. Like he took his foot off the gas. Like he gave it everything that he had. All right, a player that you were disappointed in today.
Di Marco is really annoying me right now. Not even annoying me. I just, the thing with Di Marco is when he's not physically fit, like we saw with Italy in the Euros, it is unwatchable. It is genuinely unwatchable. And it's the same with Inter. When he's in the zone, he's fantastic. But when he's not fit, he is atrocious. And today was no exception to that.
Yeah, and it was also just like really disappointing to see him, not disappointing to see him do this, but more so like watching him on the bench just with this blank stare, after he got subbed off, like just knowing that in maybe Inter's most important game of the season that he didn't give it his all. It was like, because he's an Interista.
He was a kid. Through and through. He's born in Milan, raised in Milan, used to go watch the games in the Curva, played for Inter at every single stage. He's an Interista. For him, it hurts more.
Yeah.
Someone like him, it really hurts him more. And that's a good thing because it means that he cares. And that's that he transmits that into the dressing room. And that's really important. So, no, look, I think I'm overwhelmed. There's a couple of things I'm happy with. Bastoni and Mkhitaryan didn't play. Denzel Dumfries returned. These are good things going into Barcelona. And I can guarantee you that although I think Barcelona are the favorites going into this, mentally after beating Real Madrid in that insane game, the way that they did, they are mentality.
But they also played 120 minutes.
That's the physical. That's the cost. But mentally, they're in a better place. Physically, I'd say both of these teams are cooked. I mean, look at Pedri, for goodness sakes. He looks like, he's like 22, 23 years old. He looks like my grandma before she passed away, rest her soul. Like, he looks completely, I've never seen a 23-year-old look like that aged.
Yep.
Like, they're going to kill this kid. I mean, it's if they continue like this.
People are making money, though, while we're watching the best players in the world get completely, their bodies just completely break down. And then you go into another month of games.
It's not okay. I mean, look, I don't, you know, regardless if you support Barca or Inter, this you can't be okay with this. No. Like, it's not okay.
Nobody wants to watch their favorite team be competing for titles and then just have no gas with five games left in the season. Like, that's not enjoyable to watch. But anyway,
but going into this game, they're just as tired as we are. They really, really are. But they're in a better place mentally. However, Inter had Bastoni and Mkhitaryan rested. That is incredibly important. Zielinski returned. He can be an option off the bench. That's really important. Fratesi will be an option off the bench. That's important. Aslani's back off the bench. Like, we have a full midfield. Di Marco is going to be an option. Bastoni, Augusto. Like, we have a complete midfield. The defense, if Pavard, I think Pavard is going to, I mean, from what I understand, it wasn't anything too serious. I haven't seen anything breaking yet.
Yeah, but, me neither.
So I hope it's nothing serious. So we're kind of covered there. It's just the attack. And I think he's going to have to start with Taremi and Lautaro. I think that's the only thing. You can't start Arnautovic and bring Taremi on, because he doesn't. Taremi is even worse as a sub than he is as a starter.
Yeah, and Arna gave 90 today, so
yeah. So it's going to be Taremi and Lautaro, and I think that what means. But above all, the most important thing is that he can't start Di Marco against Lamine Yamal.
I don't expect him to.
If he didn't understand that today, I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, although Augusto did play the full 90 today too. It's going to be interesting. My peggiore would be Fratesi. That was 80 minutes of confusion. Just confused. The guy was just confused about what he was supposed to do. How many like one-on-ones that he just, like, I don't know what he was doing. He was confused out there. And
if, like, he shouldn't have played this game. Like, it's just like, the thing is, I know it sounds horrible, but I didn't expect anything else. Because Roma is not when he doesn't work in the system against better teams. He works in the system against teams that defend deep, and his runs can mean something. But against Roma, when you're trying to, like, out-muscle and out-pass, or more not out-muscle, but out-pass the opposition, Ale, for the love of, like,
no,
it's like that meme, what's a polar bear doing in Arlington, Texas? Like, you know, yeah, like,
he has that's, no system. That's what it looked like. It really did look like a footballer who was not supposed to be there. But anyway, let's finish it out with your listener questions here. Mm-hmm. We've got one from Peter Jordan. My fear is now that the team will go into the Barca match with a game plan of not wanting to lose, which will lead to overly defensive play, which versus Barca is probably the most dangerous approach to take. What do you guys think? There's got to be a distinction between overly defensive play and playing to your strengths and having a, you know, a good strategy here. I don't think that Inter should go, you know, wide open, legs spread open, that meme with the Real Housewife on the yoga mat in Spain. I don't think that that's a good strategy. So no, I don't expect them to be defending in the box for 90 minutes, but also understand the context of the game, understand the opposition. And like, yeah, if Inter doesn't have the majority of possession and they're spending a lot of time in their own final third, that's kind of how it's supposed to look heading into a second leg at San Siro. But what do you think?
I have nothing more to add because I think you're spot on. What I want to see is what I saw against Bayern Munich in that away game. I want to see an Inter that is balanced in its press, in its positioning, in where they are on the pitch, and I want them to work as a unit. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to have less possession than ever before, but I don't care. It's what we do with the ball, and I want us to be able to control the midfield when we have possession. And in order to do that, we need Mkhitaryan, Barella, and Çalhanoğlu to be at their best. I need Carlos Augusto to be as good as he was against Bayern. I need Denzel Dumfries to be firing on all cylinders. And I need Bastoni to be on his best. I need Acerbi to be on his best. I need Pavard to be fit and on his best. And I need Lautaro to do what he's done in the last six games in the Champions League.
Yeah. Come out there with... You need Hakan to be, you know, able to facilitate the transition effectively. You really need
that. And we cannot, Inter cannot lose possession in transition. If you look at the goals, that pretty much every single goal, or two of the goals, sorry, that Barcelona scored on Real Madrid, it was the transition. And they're very good at disrupting. They don't do the usual just pressing. They're so damn good. The first goal in particular, Inter have to be bloody careful about that. Because did you see how Pedri read Bellingham's pass? He was just about to put what's-his-name through. But Pedri was so smart. He knew that was coming. So what he did was that he kept himself close enough and his body in a position so that he could do the sliding tackle when the ball was played, which he did. Bellingham had no effing idea. Wins the ball. Ball plays it through to Lamine Yamal. Real Madrid are sixes and sevens defensively. He does that running from behind, timing it perfectly, and then he scores that beautiful finish. That's football IQ. That's just incredibly high football IQ, but it all started from transition. Inter have to be quicker in their thought and execution, and they have to not telegraph their punches. They can't do that.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's get out of here with two speak pipes from listeners here. We'll start with Sartak.
Hi, Interviews podcast, Sartak here. And well, that may have been the decider for the Scudetto. Hopefully not, but I think if Napoli win right now, the Scudetto may be theirs. And I was just wondering, if we end up with zero trophies, where do you think it stands with Inzaghi? We know that he hasn't had the investment. We've seen that they have maybe 3-4 players, if that, who could come off the bench and make a decent impact in a consistent manner. But we also have to acknowledge that it's right now been 3 seasons and he's won 1 Scudetto as a major trophy. Actually, it's been 4 seasons. And so I think right now it's at the point where I wouldn't sack him, but he's not quite untouchable anymore. I would like to know, what do you guys think? And thank you. Hopefully we have a better day Wednesday. And as always, Forza Inter.
Thank you for the call, Sartak. We did speak about our thoughts here on Inzaghi, but it is interesting, Nima. I told you that this was the narrative that was starting around Inzaghi's, position within the team and whether or not he's untouchable. I think he did make a good point just about the amount of major trophies that Inzaghi has won while he's been here, but also, we do have to acknowledge the fact that there hasn't been much investment in the squad.
There's been nothing.
And
the biggest signing is Joaquin Correa, which they had to buy because Lukaku argued his way to Chelsea and caught everyone by surprise. And Marcus Thuram got injured on the last weekend. So they had literally had no choice. Like, this is the thing. Like I tweeted out, this summer is the most consequential and most important window for what kind of a club Inter is for the next 2-3 years. It is imperative that they get it right. Inter should not find themselves desperately looking for things. They need to have their ducks in order. They need to have everything in order. They need to have a backup plan for the backup plan. This summer is fundamentally important for the for Inter's future the next 2-3 seasons. They have to get it right.
Them are moving early on Sucic and Luis Enrique is also a sign that they're aware of that. All right, there's no other way to end this podcast.
Oh, God. Then.
Guys, boy, Gianmarco called it in. I give 3 penalties. He's a third. I'm trying to be quiet because I'm in California, North. Same deal. It took everything in me to slip it just now. And if you don't think there is something nefarious going on right now, the way that game is just refereed, you are blind to truth. Okay? I am going to fucking stop at one point. I didn't think we were I honestly thought we were going to win today. I really did. When I woke up, then as soon as that game started with the way the refereeing was going, I started to get a little nervous. Then, of course, with the two bank's defenses, the foul on Bisek and everything, I think there was a fourth one. I can't remember which one it was now. I am so pissed off right now. I hope whoever joins, I don't even know who's joining on the Sunday today. I hope that you are just as pissed off as I am. Oh my God, it's almost gotten away with freaking ball this season. I don't even know what to do with myself.
I'm envisioning him sitting there in the bathroom, whispering into his phone angrily, like, oh,
his,
God.
His roommate just, like, sleeping, like, what the fuck is going on?
This is the psycho I'm sharing a room with.
Oh, Johnny, we miss you. We miss you.
We love you. Gianmarco.
But also, congratulations for not having to break this down. Best for your mental health, pal.
No, but listen, I think... I think we can end where we started. How am I feeling? I don't like being right about things that I don't like being right about, you know? That's why I'm so calm about this, because it frustrates the shit out of me, because we're going to end unless a miracle is done against Barcelona, because I got to be honest with you, I think both Arsenal and PSG suit us better than Barcelona do, just tactically on the pitch. And also the final is played at the end of the season. We'll have lots of time to prepare. And if Inter go past Barcelona, they won't give a flying F about like that. Like, as they should. Like, why would you chase another Scudetto when...
And let's say they do get past Barcelona. Like, there also could have been another slip up in the league where Napoli extends their lead at the top, and then you're not really fighting for anything. So you rotate until the final, and you stay fresh.
You stay fresh, and it's not even relevant. So, look. So I think it doesn't. It gives me no pleasure because again, I'm old school as a person. If we leave aside the journalism and me being an analyst and all that aside, if I talk as an Interista, which I do when I'm here, I'm old school. I want to win as many Scudetti as possible. For me, the Scudetto will always rank the highest, like on a personal level. I'm pissed off that for me, it's 3 Scudetti now. 3. 1 under Conte, 2 under Inzaghi. And it's frustrating. It's really frustrating. Because we should be on 23 Scudetti, you know? But we're not. And that frustrates me. But if I look a bit further, if I look down the line, and also if Inter go on and win the Champions League, all of this is moot.
Yeah. I've said it that the Champions League was my number one goal. The core of this team, I just feel like this is our shot. To do it, although, you know, again, with some investment in the summer, maybe next year again, but you get so close, like, you just got to take your chances.
Exactly. And for me, I look, you win, you go to a final of the Champions League, and you can prepare 3-4 weeks for that and not have to, like last time, worry about securing Champions League football.
Yep.
You can rest yourself to focus on that. That's a different one, and this is an Inter that has already been into European final. So it changes everything.
Yeah. All right, time to get out of here. Nima, thank you so much for jumping on. Why don't you go ahead and tell the people, they know, but why don't you go ahead and tell them where to find you?
Yeah, look, I'm on social media, Instagram, Twitter, at NimaTavRud. If you want to follow the Italian Football Podcast, at ItaFootPod on social media, and also on YouTube, where we do videos and where podcasts can be listened to. We do the free version every Monday. Episode is free. If you want everything, including the Q&A and all that, patreon.com/TIFP and sempreinter.com for all your Inter news.
What a pro. Thank you so much, Nima. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.